There was a request that we, but before we leave Babasu, that we discuss Nastra Baba. So I'd like to do that, since it was, the request was made. It's a good request. So we're going to skip. Last week we did Akasha. There's much more to say about Akasha, but it's also connected to the topic of Nastra Baba, as we'll soon see. So let's turn to our attention tonight to Nastra Baba. That's on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Either way, we've done a lot of the intervening Gemara. Okay. So the Gemara says as follows. Hagud Avalei V'chabrei. This is, you see the little base of the Bach. It's towards the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Oh, thank you. Towards the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, about three... eight lines from the bottom?
Yes.
This is one of the most famous cases. Again, all of the cases in Cheskes Sabbatim are very famous, as it happens. In a row. None more so than Nasked Rabbah. Okay, so this is the case of the Gemara. Gemara says as follows. Hahu... the Amal of the Chabre, my boys Bahayara. Again, these are circumstances that are familiar to us. Once again, there's somebody living in the property, and the other fellow challenges his presence there by saying to him, "What are you doing in my land?" Amalei answers him, "Minach Zavanis, right? V'achaltia Shnei Chazaka. Right? I bought it from you. I've been here 3 years. If he could substantiate his claim, right, that he has been there for 3 years, he would win this case. That's what we've been discussing all year long. However, in this particular case, what happened was he was only able to bring a single aid. If you recall, previously we talked about the Gemara on top here on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, right, when the Gemara says you have a similar case, the guy says, I've been living in the karka for 3 years, and then instead of bringing two witnesses that established that he's been there for 3 years, he brings two witnesses that establish that he's been there for 2 years. Right? That was one case. Question is, does he have to return not only the land? The land certainly has to return. Does he have to return the payros that he ate the last 2 years? Because since he can't prove that he owned the land, and now we know that he ate during that period, officially he ate the other person's payros. That's one case. Now we have a slightly different case. He comes and he says, I have been in this karka for 3 years. That establishes, that proves that I am the real owner. Right? But instead of bringing two edim on 3 years, he brings a single aid on 3 years. Only an aid achah. Right? Aisi chad sadi, the achla, plus shadi. He has 3 years, but he has only a single aid. So the Gemara says, Savra abonim kame davaya. Neymar. Originally, the Chachamim, who were in the presence of Abaya, thought that this case would be a case, Hainu Nasked Rababa, that this would fall under the category of the famous Nasked Rababa. That's what they thought. In the end, we'll see, and now we're going to explain what Nasked Rababa is, and we'll explain why they were wrong, and then we'll go back to explaining Nasked Rababa. Okay. I know Nasked Rababa. What do you mean by Nasked Rababa? Hahu gaber the chotaf Nasked Michabre. One fellow grabs a piece of silver. It could have been any object. Doesn't really matter. He grabs an object from another fellow. No, the other fellow is tapus in that object. He's muksat that's his object. And now we witness somebody else grabbing the Nasca from him. Also the kabed rabami. So they brought this case to Rabami, and Aviyasev Rab Abba Kame, Rab Abba was there present, and he had something to say about this case. So the case was that Aisi Chad Sadi de Michtav Chotva Mine, they brought a single aide who witnessed this act where Reuben grabbed the Nasca from the property of Shimon, and there's a single aide who saw all of this. So the Gemara says, when confronted, right, Reuven, who was seen to grab this object by the single aid, says, Amalei, he answers him, in Chatzvi, I did grab the object, but, Vididi Chatzvi, I grab my own object, namely this fellow is illegally holding on to my object, right? I'm simply retrieving what is mine. I wasn't stealing from him. I was recovering my property. Actually, it's to his benefit because, right, you know, we don't want him to be holding on to a stolen object. So that's his claim. The other fellow says, Lo dumu b'layar, it's not true. It's my object. It was in my possession because it's my object. And obviously there's no objective evidence one way or another who the object belongs to, except that we do have a general principle which we've been operating with all year long, and that is, right, chazaka kol ma shetachas yad adam harei shelo. If you can't bring any further evidence, right, the rule is that whatever, when it comes to metalton and mobilia, whatever is in my possession is presumed to be mine. There's a presumption of ownership. So there's a presumption of ownership on behalf of Shimon. Reuven upsets that presumption by grabbing the object. His claim is that he's simply retrieving his own object, but obviously Shimon claims differently. And there's an Eidachot who's witnessed all of this. So what do we do? So the Gemara says, Amrabami, Heichin and Ainua, Daini, Lahaidina, how are the Dayanim going to deal with this problem? What's the problem? What's the issue? L'shalem. Shall we say, oh, he should pay? Right, why should he pay? Because he grabbed an object, which is the cheskas, which is presumed to have been someone else's, and therefore he's a gazlan. So he should pay. So l'shalem, leke, tre, sahadi. But there are two witnesses that he grabbed the object, and although he admits that he grabbed the object, he also, right, appends an explanation in Chatzvi, the Didi Chatzvi. I grab my own object. So as the Rashbam explains, this is kind of amigu. L'shalem, the modi shechatav, the local imenu shechotef lomar shali chatzvi, the hamed moment al cheskaso. Let's say that he should pay because of the presumption that the object does not belong to him. But like a treisadi the chatif, who amigu di by lemeimar lo chatafti, mehemanami lemeimar di chatfi. He could have said, "I didn't grab it at all. It's all in his imagination." He could have lied. He didn't. There are no two witnesses against him, and therefore he shouldn't have to pay. That's how Rashi explains it mostly. Rashi says it more extremely in Shavuos in two places. Number one in the fourth parak of Shavuos. Number two in the seventh parak of Shavuos, Lama Beis on Beis, and then Zion and Shavuos, that he's not going to pay because he has a mikra. Okay. The patre, what's the alternative? If he's not going to pay, so he should be patur. Can't say that either. Ika chad sada. There's evidence of one witness who establishes that he grabbed the object. So he can't get off with nothing either. Lishtaba. Now this is a key point. Well, let's take a shua. Well, the principle is Eid Echad is Neman L'chayiv Shua. You need two witnesses to be M'chayiv Mamon. A single Eid can be M'chayiv Shua. So why not compromise here? He can't pay because there are no two witnesses. He shouldn't get off scot-free because what he did is contrary to a presumption and it was witnessed by a single Eid. Let him take a Shua, right, saying in Chatzvi, Medidi Chatzvi, let him swear in court that he, what he did was innocent, that what he did was legal. So the Gemara says that he can't do either. Ha'omar Mikdav Chatzva, because he said that he grabbed the object. The Kimin to Omar the Chatzva, Havalei, this is a gear so that we have in our Gemara, Havalei Kegazlan. He's like a Gazlan, because he admits that he took an object, right, out of the state of presumed ownership. And therefore, he cannot be Nishba. That's the simple reading of the Gemara. We'll get to it in a moment. And therefore, what do you do? So, Amar L'Rababa, Havel Mechuyev Shvua She'eni Yochal Lishava. He's obligated to take a Shvua, but he can't take a Shvua. Right? Obligated because of the Eid Echad. Can't because, right, since he admits that he grabbed the object, according to this Gersa, he's like a Gazlan. So we don't let him take a Shvua. And therefore, whenever a person is obligated to take a shvuah, Minotaur, certainly. And he's not able to actually implement that chiyuv. So the rule is, kol b'chol yishul sheni yichol yishaba, nishal. Then he has to pay. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara is basically saying that when there was a dispute over ownership of a piece of karka, and the fellow said, I've been there for 3 years, and he could only bring an eidachad to prove his presence. So the Gemara originally thought that we should treat that case the same way that we treat the case of Naskar Rabbah, meaning we should apply the principle that since it's an eidachad, he's chayv to be nishba, but he can't be nishba, right? Because what will he say in his shua? After all, he, right, has taken the object away from the barakama, and since that's the case, so the principle of mitoch sheni yichol yishaba mishalem should apply, and he should lose the case. So the Gemara says, no, it's not comparable. What? Yeah. What's the classic case? There are two types of cases in the Gemara. One is this case, Naskar Rabba, which appears, they say, in three Gemaras, here in two places in Shavuos. The other case in Shavuos of Mitosh and Echolishav Meshalem is the case of Chanshin Yadano v'Chanshin Inayad, Lo Yadano, meaning Motiv Miktas. I say to you, you owe me $100. Right? And he says, I know that I owe you $50, but in the other 50, I really just don't know. I don't know one way or another. Chanshin Yadano, 50 I know. So the Gemara says there, it's based on Exeris Lakasa, which we'll talk about. The Gemara says there, Shuas Hashem Tia Ben Shneem, right? But that's a makar to teach you the principle of Mitol Sheni Cholishav on the Shach. Since he can't take a shoe, what's he going to say? Any or they are. Normally, Motiv Miktas is the case where I say, I owe you 50, the other 50 is a lie. So what do we say? Swear on the 50. That is dispute. 50 you have to pay back, as you admit. The other 50 you're contending, you have to swear that you don't own it. That's one of the mixas. But if you say, not the other 50 is a lie, but the other 50 ain't yodea,
so you can't swear.
You can't swear.
I thought that was okay.
Yeah.
So it's really difficult.
Well, according to the reading of the Gemara here. But we can't let him swear because he's a Gazel. Yeah. So this is a famous case. If you want another example of it, it's highlighted very much. You have a good eye. I'll just highlight for you in different ways. This is a big, big question. This is the big question in Haskar Baba. Just highlight it in another way. Tosin Bab Metzia, right, talks about the principle of Choshud. Marshall says in Bab Metzia, when you have a Choshud, Allah Shvua, if somebody is a suspect, that he's a liar, and we don't let him be Nishba, so what do? So Shekenegdo Nishba Benotel. The rule is that you let the other guy, even though he has a shvuas, he's supposed to be taking a shvuas, let's say, one of the mikvahs, to be niftar. Remember, there's only three shvuas in the Torah. Shvuas HaShomrim, shvuas Motiv Miktas, and shvuas Eidecha. Those are three shvuas in the Torah. All three of those shvuas in the Torah are shvuas Nishba Beniftar. You're supposed to take that shvua, and then you're exempt, your potter. Midrabanan, there are some other nishba v'niftars, like shvuas hesses, which you take even when you're kofar kol. And there's a whole group of shvuas called nishba v'notel, right, where you swear and you take. You win the case, but you have to swear in order to collect, as a precondition for collection, as opposed to the other shvuas, deraisa and hesses, which are, you're exempt, but a precondition of your exemption is a shua. Here, a precondition for your collection is a shua. That's called Nishma Benotel. So one of the Nishma Benotels is Choshud. If the person who has a chiyuv Nishma Beniftar, Daraisa, is Choshud, right, we suspect him, right? He's not Pasul Minatora. Pasul Minarbanon is Choshud. So Kshekenegdo, the other guy, will be Nishma Benotel. He'll now win the case, but only if he takes a shua first. Why am I telling you that? That's a halacha. So the Bali Tosis in Bam Metzia, very famous Tosis on Hayam and Aleph in Bam Metzia, asks a very simple question. Why do you say Shekenegdo Nishba Venotel? Why don't you say Mechuyev Shvua Ve'eno Yochal Lishava Mishalen? We can't let him swear because he is a Choshud, right? So he should pay. Why does the other guy have to be Nishba Venotel? That's Tosa's question. So Tosa Babetzia gives two answers to this question. One answer to Tosa says, in Akhanami, in principle, you're right. If he's a chashud and he can't swear, we should apply the principle of mitoch she'ene chol yishav mishalem, and he should pay. The other fellow shouldn't even require a nishma of an otel. However, the takana of shekenegdo, the nishma of an otel, was made to protect this individual, because otherwise he's totally vulnerable to any unscrupulous person. Because Loshavik Chayel Kolberia, once he's a kosher and we know he can't take shvuos, right? You could just, you know, create situations where he has the shvua and you'll always be collecting from him. Right? So his vulnerability, Loshavik Chayel Kolberia, the fact that you have put him in this situation, we won't let him swear. Right? And now it's open season on this guy because he can never defend himself. Anytime you accuse him of anything, since he can't swear, he's going to have to pay. Right? So to protect him, we said, Shekenegdo Nishma Venotel. But in Ochanami, Minat Torah, if the person is a Choshud and can't be Nishma, the principle of Mitoch She'ene Chol Yishav Mishalem applies. However, that's only one day in Tosis. The other day in Tosis says, no, the question is based on a false premise. The question assumes that we don't care why he can't swear. We only care that he can't swear. But maybe that's not true. Because if he's willing and interested to swear, but we just don't allow him to swear, maybe even in principle you can't apply the principle of Mitoch She'ene Chol Yishav Mishalem. And this, I think, is what you were asking. Ah, what about Chamshin Yadana? The Chamshin Lo Yadana? Isn't that the equivalent? I'm sorry, what about Naskar Ababa Mitoch She'ene Chol Yishav Mishalem? So it could be that that's a slightly different circumstance, as we'll discuss. Not everybody agrees with this idea of Goslin. Moreover, there's a difference between a Choshud and a Goslin. Goslin is somebody who, because of his definite past crimes, or almost definite past crimes, is really disqualified. Choshud is somebody who we just don't trust. But the idea of Tosis is that we only apply to Tosha and the Kol Shavu Mishalem when there's something like a Reyesa. Meaning, if he doesn't want to swear, and he should be able to swear, then that's suspicious. Or, it's a kind of a knas, daraisa, he's supposed to swear and he refuses? Right? So we say, mitoch she'ene chol yishav mishalem. But, if he wants to swear, but he can't, we won't let him, is what you're asking, that might be a different story. Now that's maybe true for chamshin adam or chamshin le'adam. Let's say there's a good reason why he doesn't know. So here, you should just know that there's a huge machlokas of Rishonim. Again, I hope we'll get back to it. The Rambam, the Raivid, the Bali Tosis discusses in many places, in Bamitziv, Daf Tzarichas, and Bavakama, Daf Membav, the Rajma Memalef and Bavakama. Is there a difference between Havalei Lameida and Lo Havalei Lameida? In other words, the guy says, Chamshin Adana, Chamshin Lo Yadana. I know I owe you 50, but I don't know about the other 50. The Gemara says that's one of the cases of Mitoch She'ene Chol Yishav Mishalem. However, the Gemara is Mechalek between, let's say, the Lova himself, let's say, and the children of the Lova. Shuas Hashem, Tia Ben Shneem, that's the Makar for this dinner, Mitoch She'ene Chol Yishav Mishalem. In this case, Avalo Ben Yorshim. The Yorshim, if they say Lo Yadana, we don't say Mitoch She'ene Chol Yishav Mishalem. What's the difference between the Yorshim and the father? So there are different views in the Rishonim. Bar Yidei Acher, all sorts of other things. The view of the Raivid and many of the Bali Tosfos is that the difference between the Yorshim and the father is precisely Havalei Lameida or Lo Havalei Lameida. Meaning, if I take out a loan, right, and I say Chamshin Adana, You know, there's no excuse, perhaps, or usually there's no excuse, right, for me to say, Cham Shem Lo Yadana. If you have a faulty memory, so write it down. Right? So it's basically, and even if we believe him on some level, the point is it's not fair that the Malva should lose out because the Lova, who should know, Havalei Lameda, is Lo Havalei Lameda. So either it's a question of rights of the Malva, or it's a question of suspicion. Namely, if Havalei Lameda, and he can't, or he refuses to, so either we penalize him, or we suspect him. That's what we mean, that's what we call a reisa. The Ravid used the expression, Havalei Shelo Pikadon, Irume Ma'arivle. Right? There's something going on here. It's a tricky situation. Right? Are the children, is it suspicious? Is it problematic that children don't know about every transaction that their parents were involved in? Right? Certainly not. So that's Shmuz Hashem Tia Ben Shneim Velo Ben Ayosh. So even when it comes to the question of Cham Shem Dana, Cham Shem Lo Yadana, it's very possible that you need some sort of reisa. And that's what Tosfos meant when they said that those are two deos. That even in principle, that's second day of Tosfos. If it's chashud, and if we don't allow it to be nishva, right? So you're not going to say mitok shein echad l'shav v'shalem, because he wants this to be nishva. We won't let him swear. Now, how does that work in with Naskud Rabbah? Your question's a good question. Now, according to the Rambam and others who don't seem to make, or at least not as frequently at least, these kind of distinctions, or the first day of Tosfos, where the reason that you don't take the Shvua is not so important. The fact that you don't take the Shvua is what's important. So then Naskud Rabbah is fine. Otherwise, you might have to look for another explanation of Naskud Rabbah. But first let's finish the Shakuntari of the Gemara before we go back to it. I should add, again, pertaining to your question, it's one other point, that you asked me what's the Makor, what's the classic case. I said the Gemara has two cases of Mitol Shein Echad L'Shav V'Shalem. One is Naskud Rabbah, and the other is Cham Shem Yadana, Cham Shem Lo Yadana. The Rishonim assume, and many of the Achronim as well, that Shvuas HaShomrim would be a third case. Meaning, if you if you're not sure what happened to the object, and you're the shomer, and you say Eini Yodea, would that also trigger Mitol Shein Echad L'Shav V'Shalem? So most of the Rishonim assume, yeah, it's no Gemara. The Gemara never speaks about it. The Gemara only speaks about Modu Mixas, Cham Shem Yadana, Cham Shem Lo Yadana, and Naskud Rabbah. By the way, I should add that the Ksos considers the possibility of distinguishing even between Naskud Rabbah and Cham Shem Yadana, Cham Shem Lo Yadana. The question is in which direction. I think one might be Maraisa, the other might be Drabanan. But either way, in the Gemara, you have only those two cases. The Rishonim add Shvuas HaShomer. And then they talk about Gilgul Shvua as well. Is there, Ramban says in Bava Metzia, Tariches, that Gilgul Shvua is also subject to Mitol Shein Echad L'Shav V'Shalem. The Rush and most of the Rishonim disagree with that Rabban. But the cases in the Gemara are only those two. The Ksos and others suggest Shvuas HaShomrim is not subject to the principle of Mitol Shein Echad L'Shav V'Shalem. They think Shvuas HaShomrim is different. It's based on the principle of Eini Yodea im Praticha as opposed to Eini Yodea im Chayavti. So exactly what is the classic case? What are the parameters? You always have to look at the classic case to figure out, or at least challenge, as you did. Like, if that's the case, how do you know that it extends beyond? But these are the two cases that the Gemara has. Now, the Gemara thought that just as a Naskud Rabbah, when there's an Eid Echad, and you can't be Nishba, that turns into a Chiyuv Mamon, so too, in the case of Cheskas Gimel Shanim, when you have only a single Eid Echad to support your story of 3 years, right, that will end up working against you, and you'll end up having to, you'll lose the case, and you'll have to pay the payrolls. So the Gemara says, that's wrong. Abale Abaya Midami Hasam Sahada La'arue Ka'asi Ki'asi Achrina Bahadei Mapkidu Lamine. In the case of Naskud Rabbah, The Eid Echad is testifying against him. If there were two Eidim, there wouldn't be a Din Torah. No one would be saying, what should we do? They'd say, there are two Eidim. There's a presumption of Cheskas Tofes. He's a goblin. Let him pay. There's only one Eid against him, and therefore the Gemara has this whole discussion. However, in the case of Gimel Shanim, Hacha L'Siyua Kasi, Ki Asach Rinim Mukmino Le'Biyadei, Elidami Hadrababa, L'Chad Sado L'Tar Tishani U'L'Peiri. Basically, if there was two Eidim saying what the one Eid is saying, who would have won the case? The Marakama or the Machzik? The Machzik. So this Eid Echad is actually supportive of the Machzik. So in this case, not comparable to Naskar Ababa, where the Eid Echad is against him. And therefore, in this particular case, he would not lose. What would be comparable to Naskar Ababa? If he didn't have a single aid on 3 years, but he had a single aid on 2 years. And the issue is, does he have to pay back the payros? Because if you had a single aid on 2 years, we would be saying, and what if you had a partner? If you had a partner, would this be supportive of the Machzik or supportive of the Marakama? Marakama, because it would establish his right to the payros of the last 2 years. Therefore, we assess, and it's the Gemara, right? We assess the role of Beit Echad based on the would-be conclusion of Shnayim Eidim. And therefore, we'll be mechalek between Eid Echad being made about 3 years, as opposed to Eid Echad being made about 2 years. Yeah.
How does the
Amigo doesn't work for very much, and we're going to see in a moment it doesn't work. Well, the Bali Tosis want to know why it doesn't work, but before you get to the question, it only works so that he wouldn't have to pay, given that there are no two witnesses. It doesn't work to exempt him from Shua. Now Tosis asks that question.
But the very idea of saying he could have bettered his position by lying and denying he took it.
Right.
I mean, the fact is, there's a certain hold on involved in it.
Well, yes and no. There aren't two witnesses, there's only one aid. So he would have had to be Nishba. I'll just show you. This is Tosis's question. The Tosis on Lama Dalam Aleph says, Shaharei Modem. Because he agrees that he stole the object, that he took the object, sorry. Even Tomar, Tosis asks.
The principle of the Mosin and Chaver doesn't apply at all?
Well, it's not really. He's claiming, you know, that it's his object that he took. And he has a migu that he could have said, I didn't do anything. Now, what is this migu based on? He'd have to be nishba for the migu to work. That's what Tosis is saying. Right? But it isn't the classic case of Hodos Bondin, because there aren't, according to his own story, he's not saying I stole his object. He's saying I'm recovering my object. That's not Hodos Bondin. Right? He's admitting that he went into his property and took something that was presumed to be his. But he's adding an explanation. That's not Hodos Bondin. Vim Toma, V'lehem ne b'shvua, V'mayit omer d'di chatzvi, V'migu di boi omer lo chatzvi. Exactly this question. Why not apply migu? He could have said, I didn't grab it at all. Believe him when he said, I grabbed my own property. But, if he had said, I didn't grab it at all, he would have had to be nishba, because it'd be an Eid Echad and say, what do you mean? And I saw you go into his property and take it. He'd have to deny the Eid Echad. So Tosfos says, you're right, good, fine, no problem. Let this migu work together with a shua. Let him take a shua to neutralize the benefit, right, of his claim as opposed to the would-be claim. Let him be nishba, right? And let him be nishba and say in chat to vidi dichat on the basis of the migu.
But why don't we test his claim to why he thinks it is?
What do you mean?
Why he thinks it is? He may have a deranged concept.
You're going to test it.
Of why that
doesn't concern the Gemara. Let's say we tested it and it's fine. He says it's mine because I bought it, I inherited it, unequivocally, I've been lending it to the cello, you know, for the last 6 months, for the last 6 years, for the last 60 years, as the case may be. He has a very clear claim. If we heard his claim and it was ridiculous, obviously we wouldn't be talking about this. But so his claim, if it's true, is a winning claim. That's not the problem. But Tosfos is asking, lehende b'shvua, let him take a shvua to neutralize what he would have had to do had he used the alternative taina. Let's say, oh, there's no such thing. There's no migu in a case where the alternative taina triggers a shua. And we don't say this rule that, oh, you can take a shua now to neutralize, you know, the benefit of not having to take a shua had to use the alternative. We don't say that. Tosfos says, maybe we don't say that. That's new in the rules of Migu from the cases that we've seen in the Gemara and Bava Basra. But Tosfos says, well, you have to look elsewhere. Tosfos says, Lohi, it's not true that we don't say that. The Amar, the Amocher, the Abayis, the Gemara says later on in Bava Basra, and the Abayin, Hamakir, it's a Chaver Bishtar. The person deposits something with his neighbor, Bishtar. We believe him to say, right, the object I received as a bikkur to watch, I gave it back already, right? Because he could have said, oh, an earthquake struck or some other calamity and I'm potter. Since he couldn't have potter himself by saying ones, we should believe him when he says I gave it back already. Ah, but if he had said onus, what would he have had to do? He'd have to be nishba, because that's what's a shomrim. Right? So the reason that he didn't say that taina is because he didn't want to be nishba. That's not a biku. No. So the Gemara Bava Basra seems to say, if he will take a shvua now, saying, ichzarti, even though normally ichzarti doesn't require a shvua, but he'll take a shvua now, saying ichzarti, to neutralize the shvua of nenas, right? So then it'll be fine.
Where did shtar come in here?
No, it happens to be a case of shtar, because otherwise, if there's no shtar, you're always never to say chzarti. When there's a shtar, we have a rule called shtarchi biyadi, my boy. You know, if you really gave it back, how come you didn't take back the evidence? You left damaging evidence in my hands when you repaid me? Right? Either you want to get a shovar, a receipt, or tear up the shtar. So we always believe the guy with the shtar. But they're saying here, believe him. Don't believe the guy with the shtar because the other guy is an ego. But it'll have to be nishba. So what do we see? That when there's a shvua, right, that precludes amigu, the way around that is to take the shvua.
On
the claim that you're making now. Now, not everybody agrees with this. Not everybody agrees with that reading of the Gemara Bava Basra. I know it out. But Tosfos does. Oh, you know what? Since I started with this, let me just continue with it for a minute. Neil, the Pirish of Enutam, the Pirish Shvua of the Nenso, the Hasam Himidrabanan, maybe the Shvua of Nenso, in that particular case, is only a Drabanan. The Lomachai Shvua Draisa Philip the Nenso, this is not for us right now, but there are some who think that even Shuas HaShomrim is only Minat Torah when there's more to the Mixas. There's a kind of an integration of two dinim, Motiv Mixas and Shuas HaShomrim. So then, in the case of that Gemara, we're talking about a Shvua Drabana, not a Shvua Daraisa. That's the Shapir. Then you could say, but whatever, there's a Shvua Daraisa, and that's the difference between the Migu and the real claim. You can't neutralize that by taking the Shvua on your own. You just can't do that. Right? You can't create a facsimile of a shvua, you know, to neutralize the benefit. And then say, oh, we're on even the playing field now, I've got my migu back. Right? All for the sake of the migu. The lake of the name Manami, the Haimachosh of migu, one could have said another shot. Okay. So we're still left with the question, if you don't hold this way, that, you know, what's wrong with this migu? Why not say? Instead of saying, believe him when he says, because he could have said, I lo chatzi would have required of him a shua. Believe him when he says in chatzi v'didi chatzi al yidei shua, but don't make him pay. It's a huge difference between believing him with a shua and forcing him to pay, right? So Tosfos says maybe there's another answer. Maybe there's a din of, we talked about this a little bit in other times, when there's a factor of ein adam of lachot to finish, right? In other words, it's one thing for me to say, listen, if I was a liar, I'd better lie. Will you say that even when there's an aide who knows I'm lying? That's the question. So says maybe you could say that. Obishu shoryare shalaya pasul eidos ha'eid ubalanaska, or this will maybe disqualify him to joining forces with the balanaska or the aid, because they're going to be in loggerheads. Kedomer perig zaborer the baldover in heaven the name of the didi os from the ribisa tomashim the ilav aid mechayev mechayev oshua hayam pater. So basically, Tosfos has this problem. Why is migu not working in the case of Natsukra Baba? Tosfos over read the Vadai Imla Hoya Eid Machaiva Shua Hoyaneman, the migu di Bayomar lo chatzvi, so Yokalah is Panav Lahakish of Eid below Shua. Avlahash the Machaiva Shua. Lo mehem and v'shua ha'yidei migu she'yachal ha'yispanav v'lishava b'davar she'id makhisha. He says, listen, if they simply have an eid echad, that doesn't negate the possibility of a migu. If you only have a shvua and you're willing to take a shvua to balance things out, to level up the playing field, that's not ma'akiv a migu. However, when you have a chiyuv shvua al yedei eid echad, so there's ha'oza and a shvua, that's already pushing the migu too far. So we don't say this migu. That Tosfos is, that's the answer of the re. Avol kasha, you like a migu my time of the rabu shmuel, the pligi b'parakol nishbohim or rababa, the patri b'naska, the leislein b'tosha nechol hashav neshali, hashamai patri, a pshita, if there's no migu, how do you explain the mandamar who disagrees with Rav Abba and says there's no mitos shenichol yisham mishalim? You still need a migu. L'chei nira, k'mosha pirish riva, the vaday have a migu. There is a migu here in this case. U'lahachi pati rav u'shmuel dinem u'mishmua, the migu dibay amar lochatzvi. Rav u'shmuel therefore say, since they don't believe in mitosha nechol shav and mishalim, since the migu that you're going to be potter, the Rabbi Abba Sabar apagav the isla migu chayev, kiva the ika echad of mechayev shvua min haTorah, kein hu adin sheishava lahakish asaid o yishalim, the inamolo migu lipater. Tosaf here says, it's a very famous Tosaf, very famous line, the Rivam, a major yisod. Tosa says, there is a migu here, but the migu doesn't work. Why? Because the equivalent of migu neged edim, a principle which we've talked about in the past. How is it migu neged edim? There's only a single aid. Let it believe him without the migu to say, in chatzim v'tidi chatzim, it's against a single aid. So the language of Tosa is very important here. Tosa says, when you have a chiyuv Shvua al yidei ha'eid echad, the way that works is that it generates an obligation either to swear or to pay. Okay, one more time. Kiva de'ika echad ha'mechayv shvua min haTorah, since it's an eid echad who imposes a chiyuv shvua, kein hu adin she'yishav al ha'kish as ha'eid, either you have to swear. O Yishalem, the Ein Moel Lo Migu Lipot there. What's going on? So this is a basic question. The Gemara says in Shavuos Saf Mem Amud Aleph, Kol makom sheshnayim mechayvin osa mamon, eid echad mechayv oshur. Whenever two edim create a chiyuv mamon, eid echad is mechayv oshur. And that can be understood in different ways. Let's take two for the moment. One way to understand it is that there's a difference between the chiyuv mamon and the chiyuv shvua, right? In parallel, there's a difference between shnayim edim and eid echad. Meaning, shnayim edim is fact, as we discussed, right? It's the concept of edus, hagadas edus. Eid echad is considerably less than that. That's why shnayim edim are mechayiv mamon, and eid echad is only mechayiv a shvua, a birur. Except that what's important about the Gemara is that there's a certain parallel, meaning you should know eid echad is not nothing. It's not edus. It's not factual. It doesn't have the ability to mechayiv mamon. However, right, eid echad is to, how do they do these things? Eid echad is to shnayim edim, like, you know, shvua is to mamon. Fine. There's another way to read the Gemara, and that is what the Gemara is really saying to us is that eid echad is mechayiv mamon, all things being equal. The requirement of shnayim edim, right, is only to be mechayiv mamon as an absolute. But eid echad partakes of the same eid or edus as well, and it's mechayiv mamon with one proviso, that is, as a patur shvua. You can get out of the chiyuv mamon with a shvua. But the wherewithal, the means to be mechayiv mamon, already exists. Beid echad. And that's what the Gemara means. Kol makom sheshnayim mechayivin mamon, eid echad mechayiv shvua. Not to accentuate the difference. Right? On the contrary. To show you that it's really one continuum. Even eid echad already has the status of edus with one proviso, p'tur shvua. And that's kind of what the Rivam is saying. The Rivam says, listen, there's a migu here. And migu would work. Except migu doesn't work against Aden. And Eid Echad is really Mechayiv Yumamon unless you're Nizbal Ptur. It's a Chiyuv Mamon. And that's why migu doesn't help you. So, this is a part of a huge topic. The question is, how do we understand the rule of, and it goes back to the question that we talked about a little bit before, the rule of mitok she'ena yachal lishava mishale. Mitok she'ena yachal lishava mishale means you have a chiyuv shvua, and somehow it converts into, when you can't do it, you can't address it, right, it converts into a chiyuv mamon. The question is, how do you understand that? So there can be many different understandings. Let's take the extreme ones for the moment. Right, on one level, we said before, oh, a chiyuv shvua is a chiyuv shvua. How does a chiyuv shvua ever turn into a chiyuv mamon? Right? It doesn't. But it's the roommate kama aren. If you're supposed to take a shvua and you don't, there's something suspect about that. Or a kind of knas doraisa. So what we do is we say to you, you're not going to be nishma. Pay. That's one approach to mitos shena kol yishav mishalim, but that would only work if there's something fishy going on, namely you're a gazlan, or havalei lameida, you should know when you, it's inexcusable that you don't, or suspicious that you don't, right? Under those conditions, we'd say, even though there's no chiyuv mamon, it becomes a chiyuv mamon, as a knas doraisa, as an irume kamarim, etc. The other extreme is that mitosh and echol eshav mishalim is not a conversion from a chiyuv shvua into a chiyuv mamon. The reason you could say it is because implicit all the time, right, in the chiyuv shvua is the chiyuv mamon. Namely, the shvua is not a chiyuv, in the most extreme way of saying it. The shvua is a ptur. Every time there's a shvua, what there really is a chiyuv mamon. The only thing is you can exempt yourself from that chiyuv mamon, you have an out clause. The out clause is the shvua. But if you can't be nishma, then you're going to pay. Now, according to that perspective, do we really care why you can't take the shvua? All we care about is the reality that you no longer have your exemption. Without an exemption, you always have to address the chiyuv mamon. So I don't care. Avalei lemeida, lo avalei lemeida, it makes no difference. Right? Irume kamarim, lo irume kamarim, it makes no difference. As long as, for whatever reason, you cannot be nizba, every shua masks a chiyuv, mamon, mitosh enichal neshava, mishalim. With the Rivam, you have 2 days in Tosis here, the Ri and the Rivam. Tosis saying, let him be nizba, midin migu. Tosis answering two answers. Number one is a technical answer. In a chanami, if there was a good migu, we would do it. But there's no good migu here, because it entails shvua, plus a lochat to finish. That's all a very technical explanation of this problem. Meaning, in a chanami, a proper migu would work. There's no proper migu here for various reasons. But the Rivam's answer goes in the other direction. Rivam says, listen, you always, every time you have a chiyuv shvua, what you really have is a chiyuv mamon. Right? The only thing is, you have an out clause. You have a patur. Now, the migu is not going to help you for that. Because it's kind of migu negative. The eidachot is mechayiv yom mamon. The migu doesn't help. That's the Rivam. Now, once we understand that, might that not also be the basis for understanding the bigger problem in the Gemara here? Yeah. It's a kind of migu b'malkamayin. Tosfos doesn't use that expression, but that seems to be what they're saying. I should add that the Ramban, just before I take the question, the Ramban and the Rajba quote this Rivam in a slightly different manner. The way the Rivam formulates it, I've been giving you the two extremes. I think there are in between these two extremes of saying every shvua is just a chiyuv shvua. The only way it can convert to chiyuv mamon is through suspicion or knas, something of that sort. That's one extreme. The other extreme is every shvua, right, signifies a real chiyuv mamon. It's an exemption of a chiyuv mamon. There are other ways, there are in between ways to say this, and they become very important. The Ramban and Rajba, when they quote the Rivam, they say it more sharply. They basically say that whenever you have an einachot, the einachot is mechayiv mamon. But you can be niftar a shvua. The way the Rivam here says it is a little bit differently. The Rivam says einachot is mechayiv you an option. Einachot is mechayiv you either mamon or shvua. One or the other. So part of the, if you can't address one, you have to address the other. That's a little bit different. It's not as extreme as the way the Ramban is formulating it, according to which the shvua isn't one of the two options. Right? The shvua is the ptur, it's the exemption of the chiyuv mamon. Now, getting back to the main point of the Gemara, I'm going to stop here in one more minute. The main point of the Gemara, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Can't we just say that more simply that migo of the mamon Aiden, the whole concept of it would apply in Aid Asa, that the Rivam is saying this, because
would or wouldn't?
That the Rivam would be saying, he's saying that, you know, Migo B'Malcolm Aiden doesn't work here.
Right.
Excuse me, that there's a problem with Migo B'Malcolm Aiden.
Right.
And the reason being that Migo makes sense when you have two Bali Torah, you know, you have two people fighting it out in court, so one guy has a Migo, it makes sense, you know, from a dying perspective when you're listening to the case. But once you bring in an aid, you know, Migo just doesn't make sense anymore. I mean, so what if someone...
But it's about numbers, Migo.
Yeah, in the Konami, but once the other side has Aedas...
The question is, does he really have Aedas? That's the question. Meaning, if we look at Aedachot as Aedas, then you're right, but that's the same thing, that reduces to the same thing as saying Migo B'Malcolm Aedin. If we don't think it's Aedas, and we just think it's Mechayim Shua, and that's important in its own right, but Chiyuv Shua is far cry from Chiyuv Mamon, and therefore Aedachot isn't really Aedas, so then what's wrong with the Migo? So you're 100% right, you're zeroing in exactly on the issue, just saying it a different way. But that's a good way to highlight it. Now, the big question of the sugya is, I mean, Tosfos asks the question by means of migu. The big question of the sugya is, why can't the guy be nizba and say in chatzi v'didi chatzi? Tosfos says, oh, let him be say that the migu. Forget about the migu. What's so terrible about saying in chatzi v'didi chatzi? So the Gemara already addresses that and says because he's a goslin, and a goslin can't be nizba. But all of us know that this is a little bit of a tricky application of the principle of Goslin, who Zeno Nishba. It's circular. He claimed he's not a Goslin.
Right,
if somebody is a Goslin, like an established Goslin in a different Din Torah, and you want to say that a Goslin is puzzled, that's a cool question anyway. We know Goslin is puzzled the Agus. Is a Goslin puzzled the Shrua? We're short of talk about that. It seems to be the same Mishnah that we have in Sanhedrin about Psaledos. Seems to be the parallel Mishnah in Shavuos about being Nishba. But that's somebody who's a bona fide, established Gaila for Goslin in a different community as a Din Torah. He's been convicted, right? He's a God of our Goslin. He didn't do Tshuva yet. And he's Pasul, Eidos, and Lishua. But here, let him be Nishba so he can tell you that he's not a Goslin. It's circular. Right, it's a catch 22. He wants to say incha. He's dying to get up in court and say incha. I'm not a Goslin. Let me be nishba that I'm not a Goslin, so that I can swear.
So maybe we have a policy that you can't resort to self-help. In other words,
what do you mean self-help? I mean every taina is self-help.
No, you have a taina. You have my property. I have to take you to court. I just can't resort to self-help.
So I don't think it's a self-help thing.
I think what, grab it from you.
What you're really saying, I think, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, is that this, if you take this literally, this line in the Gemara, which, by the way, Politosis do, here it's implicit in Lamed Aleph and Aleph, and Lamed Aleph on the base, it's even more explicit, and the Rosh and Bav Metzia. If you take it very seriously, the presumption of Chazaka, Koma Shetaka Sadana Marei Shalom, is a very strong presumption. I mean, it isn't just, you know, yeah, this is what we assume, absent other evidence. What we're saying is, there's a certain reality. If you can prove that it's yours, that'll neutralize it. But until you've absolutely proved it, the balance of power, which is rooted in that presumption of tefillah and property, is so strong that al pidin, objectively, you're a Goslin until you prove that you're not.
You mean less?
No.
That
well, not according to this perspective.
You're not a Goslin until you prove it.
No. And I'm talking about the view that says that when the Gemara uses the expression Goslin here, and therefore you can't take the Shua, that they mean it literally. I mean, the presumption of, it's not just, oh, at 80%, or, meaning it's so strong, when it's going into my property, taking an object that I'm tapus in, is an act of gzela, unless 1,000% you can prove that it's yours. If part of the Din Torah is, as opposed to saying the way we would have thought of it, which is, there's a certain presumption that things that are my property are mine, and if you come in that you're a Goslin, but, you know, we're open to the idea that maybe you're recovering your own chepetz. We can consider that possibility even without absolute proof, right? These Rishonim are saying basically you cannot consider that possibility at all, and therefore you're the victim of this catch in Ochanami. There's a catch 22, but it's a proper legal catch 22 because the presumption is so strong. That would be a very strong. When we began the year talking about Tisa and how strong it is, this is a great example of it. But now all Rishonim agree. Now Rishonim number one, who did not have the gears of God in the Gemara. For this reason, they said, what do you mean? You're prejudicing the case. The whole Din Torah revolves on whether he's a Goslin or not. Right? He's claiming that he's not. Let him swear and say that he's not. Right? Some didn't have the gears of. Even though Rashi and Rashbam who had the gears of, said, it doesn't mean it literally, because they understood the problem. It's a catch 22. He's going to tell you in court through the Shua that he's not a Goslin. Kid Goslin. Just like a Goslin can't swear, he can't swear. But for a different reason. What's the reason? Why can't he swear? Oh, I have 2 more minutes. I'm just going to 10 today because we started late. Look at Rashba. Lishtaba etha Shua Sha'id Mechaibo in a Yachal. Why? Hamodi the Chataf, because he admits that he grabbed the object. And the aid, listen to how tricky this is, he's going to force him to swear that he didn't grab it. Huh? To contradict him. Makra, Mishalim mamun shehu kofer v'aid mechai bo lo yakum ha'al kamu lishmu lahakchish as ha'aid shelo chatat b'mamun zeh. Rashbam made up a new drasha. By the way, it wasn't just the Rashbam. Rashi and Shavuos in both places, just the Rashbam expands on the drasha part of it. And the Rambam, goes even further. The Rambam Perek Dalet was trying to nit on Halacha Ches. We'll discuss the implications next week. Next week will be our last shiur of the season. The Rambam says, the Rambam was very into Naskar Ababa, I should mention. He quotes it all over the place. Malva Belova, Perek Dalet, Perek Dalet Echus Toin, Perek Dalet Echus Gzela. He was very into, and he keeps quoting the case too. Oh, just like the Gemara's Naskar Ababa, he gets very excited about Naskar Ababa. Rambam is very, Monali Biadecha, you owe me $100. Tahare Eidechad made a love, and there's an Eidechad that supports that you owe him $100. Panitin Omer Kainu, it's true. Havalat Achayavli Kenegan on Samana, but you owe me $100 from some other loan. They should cancel each other out. Rambam says, Harezim Bechuyah Shmuel Venia Kol Shavim Mishali. That's not the case of Naskar Ababa, but it's the same rule. He's obligated to take a shul, but he can't. Why can't he swear and say, I owe you the $100, but you owe me the $100, and therefore they cancel each other out? Why can't he take that shul? Sharehu moda b'meshehed v'heed. Because he admits what the aid says. Ve'eno nishba b'hadas edechad, says the Rambam. Nishba. When you're responding to edechad, you can only swear. Ad sheyakhish esha aid. Only if you deny the aid. Listen to this. The yichbar be'eduso, a triple formulation. And you deny his edus, the shabal k'firaso. I don't know why you need to say it three times. But Pikach says the Rambam, shtar sheyesh bo edechad, the ton shaparo. Let's say you have a shtar. There's an edechad resigned in the shtar. Now the shtar only says that A lent money to B. Right? The chen kafren shabal of edechad v'ton shaparo v'zark v'pikadon harizim v'chuy yishuv v'enyachol yishava v'shalem. Ram says that also is Naskar Ababa. Wow. See how he's expanding it? I'll explain it one more minute. Maisa be'echad shechataf lashon katzah. And says he keeps recording the case of the Gemara. That's Naskar Ababa. It happened in the Gemara. This guy grabbed a piece of silver. Nechadero b'fnei edechad v'amr kach hatafti. V'shalich hatafti v'amr chachamim. The rabbi already says, you are expanding this halakha considerably. What's going on with Rashi, the Rashbam, the Rambam? What are they talking about? Notice how they didn't say anything about being a Goslin, per se. Right? I say, some people didn't have that gears at all. Others explained Goslin doesn't mean being Goslin. Like Goslin, he can't be Nishba. Why can't he be Nishba? Because he has to attack the aid. Wow, it's a new halakha. Again, the Rashbam tried to create a drasha from it. The aid echad, we all know the halakha. Aid echad is mechayev a shvua. Aid echad is mechayev a shvua against dafka, where the token of the shvua is that he's a liar, that what he's saying is a lie. Why can't it be mechayev a shvua? It'll clarify in the shvua the significant legal issues of the dindora, including in chatvi. The Bali Tosis who didn't told this way, right, they said, oh, he can't swear because he's a Goslin. If he could swear, he could say in chatvi. He dafka has to go for the jugular. He has to blow the other eight echad out of the water. He has to blow him out of the water. He can't say, oh, you're telling the truth. I'm telling the truth. Here's the explanation. No. He's got to face the eight echad and call him a liar. If he's not going to call him a liar, he's not going to win. How come? Maybe the idea of the Rambam, we'll have to qualify this next week, because there's some other Rambams. Maybe the idea of the Rambam is based, at least generally, on the idea of the Rival, which is, Eid Echad is Mechayiv, not just the Shua. Eid Echad is an Eidos. It's Mechayiv Yumamo. How can you get out of it with the Shua? You can only get out of the Shua if you destroy the credibility of the Eidach. You have one way of getting out of the Eidach from the Eidach, calling him a liar. If you agree that he's telling you the truth, then his Eidach turns into the equivalence of Shneidim. It's Shneidim with the vulnerability that if you want to attack him personally and attack his credibility, since there aren't two, there's only one, you can do it to Shmuel. But then the Shmuel has to be Akhashas Agavra. For the Rambam, not just Akhashas Agavra, even Akhashas Chepsis Shalejas. Because when you have an Eid Echad in a Shtar, why can't you take a Shmuel and say Paraiti? The Eid Echad in the Shtar doesn't know that you didn't pay. The Eidos in the Shtar says you didn't pay. That's last year's discussion, if you recall. That's Reish Lakish. According to the Rambam, the only way to counteract the effect of a single aid, not to treat him like two aidim, is to call him a liar. Triple formulation. If you don't call him a liar, if he's not destroyed, then he's treated like shame.
So if you have two aidim, it's to say I borrowed money. I can't come back and say, okay, I did, but I paid it back?
Not in a star.
Shneidim
in a star.
Oh, okay.
Unless you prove it.
Right.
But then the presumption, that's in the star of Yadi, my boy. That's what we're working with here. Okay, we'll stop here. We'll just continue to explore the Queen's Shur Shaykh on the Shabbat Shalim next week when we continue with Naskar Abba.